What is going on, everyone? Neil here for another episode, and we are back with Jenny. Jenny, thanks so much for hopping on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Neil.
Absolutely. So Jenny, giving some background on Jenny, she actually now works at Made This Franchise. She's the franchise success manager at Made This. Pretty new, Jenny, right? It's been a few months now, 3 months, 4 months?
Yeah, really the beginning of the summer was when we kicked things off. And time's flown by. Yeah.
I wanted to get Jenny on because I think she had some awesome background in franchising with her previous career. And I think her story is fascinating and it's going to be really valuable for the listeners here. So Jenny, would you mind if I just kick it off to you? And can you tell us a little bit about who you are? People know what you're doing now, but a little bit about your background too.
Yeah, sure. And really like my history in franchising is what has led me to this. So if we back up, oh goodness, really about 11 years ago, I was working in the corporate world and I was looking for a life change. I wanted more control over my time. I've got two kids. At that time, I had one kid and I wanted to figure out a way to really do my own thing. I was really interested in doing something from home, something entrepreneurial, but I hadn't done it before. So did my homework, talked to a lot of folks and decided I wanted to go the franchise route. I liked the concept of... Yeah, I did marketing for really like it's the NAIC, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. So I was working for one of their software products, doing training and sales. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And just really looking to get, you know, out of that world and into something that I had more control over.
And you mentioned you were looking into it and you decided on franchising. Can you tell us why?
Yeah. So I like the concept as someone who was like jumping off a cliff, right? Like I was ready to take a gamble on myself, but I wanted a parachute. I wanted something that had a plan. I liked the idea of, you know, I understood the investment structure and I was fine paying for that with the resources and with the guide. Did my homework, worked with a business consultant, you know, evaluating a handful of franchise systems, and I landed on one called Tutor Doctor.
Got it. And why franchising? I mean, like you could have done this yourself. You had marketing background. Why did you decide to go on the franchise route? And what was your decision-making process there?
Yeah, you know, there was some consideration there, but there were pieces to it that I felt like would have taken more time in financial investment than I was prepared for. Like with a franchise system, I felt like the marketing collateral, the coaching, the guidance, the tools, the like technology was going to be in place for me already. I wasn't going to have to build that myself or go out and find it myself. To me, that was a really worthy trade-off for, you know, the royalty fee that I had to pay. So looking at it from that, you know, perspective of somebody who was taking a risk with a new business, I was much more comfortable doing that with a franchise system that had a plan in place.
Gotcha. And tell me about how the process went for you and what you were looking for in a franchise system. For example, like, did you want to keep your day job and do it? Or you're like, get me out of here as soon as I can. Let me go full time. How was that process at the beginning?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it started out by just really evaluating what was my definition of success, right? Mm-hmm. What did that mean? What was I trying to build financially in terms of what kind of money did I want to pay myself? How quickly did I want to be able to scale a business? For me, the focus was really more control over my time. So I felt like if I could put in the hustle for, let's say, 18 months, 2 years, really just go at it and build a business that could stand alone without me being in it full time, that would have been success for me. And that's ultimately what I did. But again, backing up, it started by saying, what is it that I want, both financially, both in terms of time and freedom? And those were the big, you know, moving components for me.
Gotcha. And can you tell me a little bit about Tutor Doctor? What is it? What kind of model is it? And how did it work for you?
Yeah. So Tutor Doctor, one-on-one in home tutoring. And it's, you know, in the world of education, that's not going away. But the need for tutoring, especially now, right? I can make the pitch for folks looking for that, is going to be bigger than ever. So I liked the idea that it was a product, if you will, that I wasn't going to be concerned about not being important. I feel like any market would have been successful running something with tutoring or education. but I also liked the home-based component to it. My overhead was really low. I wasn't running a physical location. Yeah. And I had the option, I could do a contractor model, I could do an employee model. There were a lot of flexibility there, again, depending on how I wanted to run it. What else did you want to know, Neil, with Tutor Doctor?
Yeah, no. So this was, you were going to clients' homes, or you're sending people to clients' homes to actually do the tutoring, right? So there's no office space, there's no overhead. It was, funny enough, a remote local business, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It was 100%. Yeah. And it was really empowering my tutors, right? I didn't have an education background, so yeah. That wasn't my strength. I could go out and find people, right? And hire and match. And I could do, the sales part was easy. I could sit down with parents and talk and ask questions. Mm-hmm. It was really a matter of, right, finding the specialists and finding the family and doing the match. So that was really the magic of what Tutor Doctor was. We also didn't have to worry about curriculum or going out and investing in that. That was something we let our tutors decide. So again, in terms of overhead and management, the way that we approach education was really just about that student, meeting them where they were in all senses of the word, physically, and then just in the sense of where they were academically.
Well, and Jenny, talk to me about the beginning. So you launched first 18 months, 2 years. Mentally, I'm curious what you were feeling. Like, were you scared? Were you like, holy crap, this entrepreneurship thing's way harder than I thought? What, do you remember what you were feeling like back then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, all of it, right? Like, you're kind of on this never-ending adrenaline rush to a degree. And it was just this sense of being gritty, being scrappy. What do I need to do to keep generating that flow of tutors, that flow of students and families? You know, in the education world, there's a certain kind of circular or secular, you know, component to the business. It's around that school calendar. So getting through 2 years, two cycles of that, I knew would make me feel much more comfortable about the business. But it really was like, hey, I'm going to listen to what everyone else ahead of me has done with this. That's the benefit to me of that franchise system. So I could talk to other owners who were 5 years, 10 years down the line and say, what did year one, what did year two look like for you? What is it that's important that I focus on and do? It's like marathon training, right? Like you have a plan and it's just like running it off one day, 1 week at a time. It was a lot of just like nose to the ground, scary at times, but then also incredibly rewarding, like as you saw the business take off.
Yeah. And I like what you said. It does take a couple of seasons to actually fully get it. At least one season, I would say, right? Because you see the ups and downs, not just with like the seasonality of the business, but you know the problems that are happening, right? And I think that's always pretty key to actually understanding a business model and understanding how this is going to work is get that first year under your belt and then go from there. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Then you operate with more confidence too, right? And more experience at that point. And then you're getting, you know, you're getting the seasons and the best practices, like you're starting to master those things and build and expand. So, yeah.
Yeah. So Jenny, as you went through the process, I'm curious, what was the hardest part of the business model from all the years you're running it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, here's the deal. The best part of it and the worst part with people, right? So it's incredible to help send a kid to college, right? To help someone improve their score and their, you know, chemistry class, like great feeling, but it's also that people component of tutors not showing up, of families canceling on you, things that you can't control, right? It's like the human aspect. So what was also the best part could also be the worst part. In terms of just strictly like speaking business-wise, it was learning things that I hadn't done before, right? Like understanding what it meant like for to read a profit and loss, to like analyze the financials in my business. It was like the hard knocks in terms of like business school, right? Like trial by fire, figuring it out. That was also really fun. Like I loved that challenge. That was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Gina, I'm curious. You were running Tutor Doctor for how many years?
10 years, yeah. Actually it was my ninth year of business going into my 10th. Yeah. When I had scaled it, I was able to actually sell it, you know, survived COVID years, which, was, you know, its own wild trip.
That's big.
But had also seen the business really, go from like we took advantage of more technology by the end. So there was a lot more in terms of, just the structure and how we could run it efficiently and effectively. That was really a neat, you know, component towards the end.
So Jenny, doing this a decade, I'm sure there are things where you looked at in hindsight and you're like, damn, I wish I did this differently. Can you share what that would be?
Yeah, for sure. Right off the bat, I wish I would have started with the exit plan sooner. You know, you come into this, you don't know what you're doing. You're trying to learn as much as you can. But I really am a big proponent now of starting with the end in mind. I wish that right from the get-go, I'd had a better thought about what does my business look like 5 years, 10 years down the line? What do I want to do with it? By the time I started having those thoughts, those goals, I knew I needed more time to build the business out to what it needed to be to sell it. So that would be, you know, if I could, I'd go back, tweak that a little bit, and I'd start implementing that mindset sooner.
What were the main levers that you tweaked once you realized you wanted to sell the business, but you still had to wait for it to be buttered up and like properly formatted in order to be able to exit it?
Yeah.
What were the main levers you had to change?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I really wanted, in terms of just kind of the structure of the business, I brought in a person who did most of my sales for me. I wanted to show that this was turnkey, right? That I wanted documentation in place in terms of how I ran the business. So for someone who hadn't done this before, who could literally step in, I had everything in place in terms of structure. I could show the financials that this business still worked. You know, when you brought some people in or you outsourced certain pieces of the business, I didn't want it to just be a glorified job that I was trying to sell to somebody else. I wanted to show that I built a system, that I had it financially profitable. So that was, it was kind of that bigger picture of what does it look like from that buyer's perspective of a healthy business they'd want to buy into.
Got it. So a lot of that is the documentation, and it sounds like making sure just the sales are not dependent on you.
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted processes in place that said it wasn't just that it was because I was running the business. Right. And I wanted to show the financials for it. And that needed time, right? That had to show that I put the structure in place. And that year over year, I could still show growth.
Gotcha. And who did you end up, talk us through the exit process. Who'd you end up selling to? How did that whole process go for you?
Yeah, that's, so it's really interesting, right? When you kind of go into that side of it and you're looking at your options. So we had a franchise system that was part of what they also offered was they'd help resale. So that was helpful. I also talked to local business brokers, just trying to figure out what my best options were. So the biggest thing too, or one of the big things is having your numbers clean, right? You've got to be able to, you know, understand what your company is valued at and, you know, understanding what it meant to build something and to show something that could back that up. And then what ultimately happened was it was through the franchisor that we were able to sell. They found a buyer. He was someone who was relocating from California. He had a previous experience in education and wanted to do something like this. And it fit, you know, it landed for him. You know, our franchise, you know, representative helped us walk through the whole process. And it was actually, it really went very smooth.
Nice. Glad to hear. And I think that's everyone's like eventual goal is that someday they want to sell, right? Sometimes people just want to run as cash cow business, and that's great as well. But I think a lot of people want to sell, and it's good to have the optionality for both. I think if your business is set up properly or not.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. That's the whole point, right? Make decisions today that give you that option when you're ready.
Yeah. Jenny, tell us about your role now. So now you're working full time for Mavis franchise. Yeah. What's your title and what are you actually doing?
Yeah. So, again, you know, I had a positive experience with a franchise system. And, when I was looking to really transition, you know, I kind of did some things in between with consulting and business consulting. And then I was ready to like get back at it. What's something full-time I could do? And I started looking at franchise opportunities. And I also had been around long enough and talked to other franchisees and other systems to know what kind of a franchise system I wanted to be involved with. You know, Neil, you and I got connected. I got to hear what your vision was for Made This. And I've got to tell you, it's the franchisee focus. It's that focus on support, focus on building, you know, the kind of business that they want to build. That spoke to me. That landed. You know, a lot of the structure of Made This has some similarities to Tudor Doctor. So very familiar with a lot of those concepts. But for me, it was really the opportunity now to participate on the franchisor side of a system that I felt passionate about. So here I am, the franchise success manager of Made This. Yeah. And I think you'd be the first person to say my job really comes down to how can I help franchise be successful? How can I help them make money? That's really the definition of success kind of from my position.
Yep. And Jenny, I, from context, as well as like what I liked about your background too, one, you're running a remote local business, right? Which is Tutor Doctor as well. But also the fact that you came from a larger franchise system and are bringing a lot of the best practices there to Made This. And I think you told me this during the interview process too, you wanted to start with the end in mind for franchisees. So now like on week one of training, we literally have franchisees map out, what does your exit plan look like? What do you want to do? Right? What are the exact steps you need to take to get there and have that vision in mind? And a lot of that's because you have that decade of experience of running your own business and you know, all right, these are the mistakes I made. Let's make sure our franchisees don't make those same mistakes. And like Jenny, I've been fortunate because I think you have a lot of that experience to come and help build our support system from the ground up with an end in mind and helping franchisees avoid a lot of those early mistakes. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's a good combination, Neil. And you've got a great set of franchisees who have bought in and who like love that challenge of like, you want me to tell you now what I want to do in 5 years or 10 years? Like, that's a great conversation. That's a fun conversation to have. Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. Well, Jenny, thanks so much for hopping on and sharing your story. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for inviting me, Neil.
Absolutely. And everyone listening, thanks for hopping into another episode and we will catch you next week. Take care.